Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Bamboo's here.
Hey, everyone.
And we're gonna talk about anime burnout this week, and the many things that lead to it, and the causes of it, and the ways maybe to get out of it if you can. But up front, it's been a little while since we've had you on the show. You are now handling interest feed.
Full-time. I sure am.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's been good. It's been fun. We've been trying to kind of move the feed towards, you know, just trying to make it more fun, a little more peppy, some human interest stories every now and again. Yeah, so it's been cool. I've been learning a lot of things, and been staring at more Sailor Moon merchandise than I even ever knew existed.
Well, yeah, I mean, those things are kind of dictated by what's popular. Like, what you're working on is, like, you know, you kind of have to focus on the popular things, and it's like Attack on Titan, Sailor Moon, Attack on Titan, Sailor Moon, Attack on Titan, Sailor Moon.
Yeah, Madoka.
Yeah, Madoka. Every now and then a Madoka gets thrown in there. But yeah, no, I personally, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's been pretty good. I've been enjoying it. I've been seeing it passed around a lot more. Like, I do see that stuff get perpetuated through social media, like, a lot more often. So, yeah, good job, I guess.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
Just, you know, don't turn it into BuzzFeed and you'll be fine.
Well, I'll try not to.
we'll get into part of the reason that we're talking about a burnout this week is specifically because of what happened with Shelf Life and the stream. So we'll talk about that a little later, but before we get into that stuff, what have you been watching lately?
Well, lately I've been really into, two of the new sports anime that have been streaming. First one is that Ace of Diamond, and the second one is that sweet cycling show, Yomushi Pedal, which is by far the most fun I have every single week.
I liked the first episode. I have not seen past that, but it's worth it, huh?
Oh, it's absolutely great, because it's really, I mean, I don't know the first thing about bicycles. Like, I don't even know how high to pump my tires. Like, I don't know anything about bicycles. I don't want to know anything about bicycles. I leave that to other people to help me, like, fix my bicycle. Mm-hmm. And yet, this show was fascinating, because, like, it reminds me of, like, all my bicycle nerd friends. It reminds me of just this crazy culture surrounding, like, cyclists, and it's just super fun. So it's weird, too. So it's about cycling.
So it picked up, because now I'm not sure where the show went, but my prediction was that because Super Otaku Kid happens to be an incredibly dedicated cycler and, you know, joins this competitive cycling club. So where's that character going? Like, how's that developing? Well,
so I think, the exact moment where it went in a very good direction is, there's this one scene where basically he realizes that for the first time in his life, he's actually good at something. And that kind of boosts the self-confidence is what really propels him to want to be a cyclist, you know, and he learns that there's all these things you can do just having a different bicycle. You know, he enjoys being fast. He enjoys just being, you know, and having friends who have the same hobby. And for once, like, he feels like he belongs, and you know, he has confidence. And I think it's such a good way, like, such a good direction to move that character that it just completely makes the series. You know, had the entire thing just been like, oh, here's this nerd who rides his bike a lot, like, I don't think that would have sustained more than, like, two or three episodes.
Well, of course, that's not what it was going to do. Like, I mean,
right.
They introduced that otaku character specifically so it can he can develop. Like, that's... I assumed that's what that was going to be, but I was kind of hoping it would maybe have a little bit of a commentary on the whole nerds don't like sports and sports fans don't like nerds or nerd stuff. But, you know, you're living proof that that's not true.
Right. Well, and, I mean, even if it does go there eventually, it might. I mean, so far it hasn't, you know? Right. And every hardcore cyclist I've ever met has also been a giant nerd. So I don't know what that says, about cycling or nerds' enjoyment of cycling. but you know, it's certainly not your like rugby or American football, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, it's a little nerdier than your average sport.
Right.
Kind of like soccer.
It's true. Yeah. Well,
All the anime, but okay, every huge soccer fan I know is also a huge nerd. You included. So
that's true.
Not that all soccer fans are nerds, obviously, but I think among American fans, I think it's pretty common to find nerdy soccer fans. But that's cool. So that's totally worth checking out. I could use a good sports show. I didn't even watch the first episode of that Ace of Diamond thing, so that's pretty good too.
It's pretty good. It's a lot more generic. It's certainly not as interesting as the cycling anime. You know, it's your kind of typical like baseball show about a pitcher who's just like really gung ho and he really wants to be the ace, rah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's fun, but it's a lot more formulaic. And certainly, there's like a million baseball shows, so that's not exactly fresh territory.
So is it above average for a baseball show? Do you think? Better than what was that one a couple of seasons ago? It was like King of the Mound or something like that.
Oh, I don't even remember King of the Mound. I'd say this is...
I don't even think that's a real show. I'm
remembering
sure a baseball
it is
show
somewhere,
where, like,
maybe.
Like his brother dies and he has to take over as pitcher. Do you remember that one? His brother dies in a car accident in like the second episode or something like that.
Oh, no, that was a soccer manga.
Was it soccer?
Or okay. It was a soccer anime. Yeah,
I get them all mixed
what it was
up.
Called,
what
but it was, oh, King of the Pitch or something of the Pitch. Prince of the Pitch.
Whatever.
Pitch. Knight of the something. I don't know. That was fucking weird. Because I did not expect his brother to get hit by a car in like the second episode. So that was dark and weird. No, but this, I don't know if you ever watched Big Wind Up. This is kind of
I like Big Wind Up.
In that vein. Yeah, it's kind of more in that vein where I think like it's not mind-blowing, but it's fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, on a spectrum of sports shows, I'd say it's like slightly above average. Maybe like a B minus or a C plus.
Yeah, cool. But you're still watching it, so.
Yeah.
And you don't have to anymore.
That's true.
You don't have to watch the streaming stuff anymore at all. But we'll get into that. New Shelf Life just went up today, actually. We're taping this about an hour after it went up. And I checked out some of that stuff, too. You covered the re-release of Akira, the Funimation disc. And I have the Bandai disc, and I saw no reason to buy this one, aside from the 1988 dub, which is nice to have, faux show. But the disc is basically identical otherwise. That's kind of the only thing that's on there that if you already have Akira on Blu-ray and you don't care that much about the 88 dub, no reason to upgrade, I don't think.
But I think that's a huge reason to upgrade for a lot of people.
I think you're
because,
right.
Because, I mean, okay, I think that the 2001 dub is hands down the better dub.
Of course.
In terms of translation, in terms of, like, fidelity, the original dub makes no fucking sense.
No, but it's what got millions of people in the anime.
Exactly. Exactly. And,
so
and
it's
it
a piece
has
of history.
I mean, it's iconic, you know. Yeah. It has all the like Canada. It's the dub that people think of when they think of Akira.
Yeah, you get the smarmy weirdly paced James Flinders.
Yeah.
I popped it and I was listening to it and it's like, man, this is from another time, like another dimension. Like, it's just so fucking strange.
It's so goofy because, like, everyone has these weird accents. Like Tetsuo kind of sounds like a 1940s gangster, and like all the girls are from like New Jersey. It's just a really bizarre dub. Like, why? Some of the affectations that they chose for the character are strange to me.
But for more than a decade, that was the only dub of Akira.
Yeah,
and it's what got, like we said, got millions of people into anime as a thing. So. It's really important that that's on there, and it is a good reason. It is a good reason to double dip if you want that.
Right.
Other than that,
right.
If you don't care about that dub and you already have the Bandai disc, I'm just saying it's basically identical. They didn't make any new extras for this. It's all the same stuff, and it's actually missing the production report, I think. So there's a few things that aren't on there, but it's a really good disc. And you know that Bandai disc is way out of print and really really hard to get your hands on for anything less than a crazy price. So if you don't have it, buy this one absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good set. I watched One Piece Strong World.
Oh, Oh, I haven't seen that yet. How is it?
Yeah, it's okay. So, One Piece is one of those shows where I do really like that show, and I have seen over 100 episodes of it, but I saw over 100 episodes of it when there were only about 150 episodes of it. You know, this years ago at that point. I think it's in the 500s now or something like that. and I've seen a few of the movies, and the reason I was curious about this one is because it was a huge phenomenon in Japan. Like, this movie came out in 2009, and it was a giant box office, like, smash hit. And that is chiefly because, I think, it's the only movie written by Oda himself. Like, he oversaw the production. He didn't direct the film, because he's not a film director, but he oversaw the production, and he's like, I want this to be really good, really special. And they gave away, like, a special manga, like, at the movie theater with it, and it turned into this huge thing. So, like, 2009 was about when One Piece went from, hey, this is really, really popular, to, oh, shit, giant phenomenon. Like, that's when you started seeing, like, the One Piece Cafe, the One Piece theme park, the One Piece everything. Like, stores that were nothing but One Piece stuff. Like, that's when it was this huge thing in Japan, and still is. And this movie was kind of the catalyst for that. And it's a movie. It's about a bad guy who fought Gold Roger, and he kidnaps Nami, and Luffy has to fight him to get Nami back. Just as exciting as it sounds. It's fine. It's totally fine. Like, they're on, like, this island where it's survival of the fittest, hence the title Strong World, and all these giant animals. It's a little, like, it has all these giant animals in it, so it's a little Toriko-y. Just a little bit. Like, not a lot, but it was perfectly entertaining. It's 2 hours long, which overstayed its welcome for me. Normally, I'm used to the Shonen Jump movies being like 75 minutes.
Right.
You know, 2 hours is a bit much for a Shonen Jump movie. Introduces a new character that doesn't do anything or develop, just like every Shonen Jump movie. I would say it's better than average for a Shonen Jump movie, but it isn't really that special. I mean, obviously, fans are going to watch it anyway, and have probably already seen it fan-subbed, so... it's okay. I wasn't totally blown away by it. It was nice to see those characters again, but they're so far ahead of where I am at, like, I don't recognize half the Straw Hat Pirates. So, it's like, who's that bone guy? I don't know who that is. I don't get it. So that's how far behind I am on that show. But, the animation's pretty nice. I was kind of hoping for better animation. It looks like a pretty standard theatrical Toei thing. Not a lot of really impressive stuff in it. Just standard, you know, theatrical animation for those things, which always seems a little stiff to me, a little low frame rate for a theatrical production. But, you know, you got the TV crew working on it, I suppose, so whatever. But like I said, it's totally fine. If you're a fan of One Piece, definitely check it out. The dub on that show, I don't know if I like it or not. I think it's perfectly adequate. It's definitely obviously better than the 4Kids one. But it's so shrill. Like, you've had to watch a lot of that show for shelf life.
Yeah.
And does it strike you as shrill? Does it kind of start hurting your ears after a while because everybody is screaming and high pitched and
right? And everyone's over. You know, it's very like high energy. Yes. I kind of stopped watching One Piece at one point because I think I hit some high number episode, and then I just realized, like, I can't do this anymore.
Like, you hit some kind of filler stretch, and you're like, that's it. No more of you. I'm sure there's a guide out there that says, like, skip this, skip this, skip this, go straight here, don't watch this filler, you don't need it. Because surely in 500-plus episodes, there's a lot in there you don't need to see. Because that's one of those shows, one of those Shonen Jump shows that never goes off the air, never takes a break. It's always on.
Right.
So there's at least 50 episodes a year or whatever, or 45 or something like that. I'm sure there's a guide out there. I just need to find it because I'm curious to see it. Like, I want to keep up with that show. That's the only Shonen Jump, like, super long running thing that I'm still a fan of it. I still really want to watch it. I'm still curious. So,
well, now's a really good time for them to release that movie because I think just recently One Piece hit another like gigantic milestone where they have 300 million copies in print. Like, that is insane. Like, that's more than Dragon Ball ever had.
I think there's more volumes of it at this point.
Yeah. It's you know, good for them, I guess. And it's crazy because it seems like every other day there's, like, some crazy new, like, One Piece merchandise. You know, there's One Piece watch. Here's this One Piece cigarette holder. Where's this One Piece boxers? You know, it's like, yeah. it's I don't think it'll end anytime soon.
Yeah. Other thing I got was Fate Zero dub box. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but it's sitting there, and I kind of want to watch that show. I have been told by many, many people that it's totally worth watching, even if you haven't seen Fate Stay Night. I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
I would agree with that. Yeah, it's really fun. The first episode, I wanted to kill myself because it takes forever. But after the first episode, like, it just gets better and better as it goes. Like, it's, and I'm not a huge, like, Fate fan. You know, I like Saber, you know, like everyone likes Saber. Sure. But as the show went on, I increasingly was like, oh man, oh shit, what's going to happen next? So it's, I enjoyed it. And I don't really like Fate Stay Night. So that's my recommendation.
Well, this has a dub, so there you go.
Yeah.
It's a nice box, too. Like, they do a nice job. You know, these boxes are, like, crazy overpriced, but they do a nice job on them. All right, so that's kind of what I've been watching, but the reason we're here today is to talk specifically about Burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a topic I've been meaning to do a show on for a long time, and the catalyst for this is basically, so you are no longer writing the stream.
Correct.
We didn't really make a formal announcement just because we weren't quite sure what we were going to do with it yet. And I didn't really want to make an announcement of, hey, no more of the stream for the foreseeable future until I knew what I was going to do with it.
Right.
And so now I kind of know what I'm going to do with it. And it sort of triggered a thing where it's like, well, why don't we talk about why that's not happening anymore? And then that became a larger subject. So just to start, I mean, how do you classify burnout? How do you define it?
For me, burnout is just when watching something feels more like a chore than it is something that you're actually looking forward to. And I think, and not necessarily like, you know, anime itself or, you know, or all anime. Like, there are certainly shows that I love right now. I love watching certain shows. I love watching certain movies. I'm really excited to see Wolf Children, for instance. But there's so much of it that burnout becomes like when you become so aware of the fact that all of these titles are slowly melting into one, you know?
Yeah, I sort of attribute it to when you look at like a big stack of anime or you look at like a new season and your eyes glaze over.
Right.
You are no longer paying much attention to it, and the thought of sitting through all of that maybe drives you a little nuts. I want to clarify here. It's not about sudden hatred or sudden disinterest. It's a very specific feeling.
Right.
A very specific feeling that you need a break from this for a while. Like, a good long time. Months, sometimes, in fact.
I agree. I mean, it's so, especially as a reviewer, I remember, like, the first time I ever had really bad burnout was, I don't know, I'd say maybe, like, 4 or 5 years ago when I had really severe burnout when I had this, like, existential crisis as I was sitting at my laptop trying to write some new review when I suddenly realized, like, how is it possible that the English language only has 26 letters? You know, because you write about shows so often that you start thinking, like, how does one actually formulate thought using such a small alphabet? And, like, it was that moment I was like, oh, shit, I gotta stop.
Yeah.
Like, what am I talking about? And, you know, it's one thing to watch the shows. I think it's another to care enough about a show to want to have anything to say about it. And part of it is watching so much, and part of it is also because so much of it is the same.
Right. And that's that sort of leads into where I think the source of burnout is for a lot of professional writers. And we're coming at this, we should say, from the angle of people who do this for a living. So you make your bread, you make your living watching this stuff. It's important that you watch it. You have to in order to keep the lights on and food on your table. It's a little different for you than it is for a fan who just comes home from their job and relaxes by watching anime. It's different for us. So that's sort of what we're talking about. However, I know plenty of fans that also go through burnout. I'm just saying specifically we're talking about our experiences and they may not necessarily mirror yours. However, I know fans go through burnout all the time just on their own, even without, you know, even without the requirement that you have to watch this stuff week to week in order to make a paycheck. So, I mean, that's definitely a thing, or at least an important distinction to make. Yeah, so eventually, you know, your eyes start glazing over. You're not really paying too much attention to it. And the struggle to come up with something to say, like you were saying, really attribute. I think that once you realize how much you are struggling to have something to say about this, whatever, sports show, harem, comedy, whatever, that's when you realize, I'm burned out. I need to take a break from this stuff. Like, it seems like maybe that's the moment of realization.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that, like, each week it becomes harder.
Yeah.
You know, each week you sit down and you write something and you think to yourself, how could I possibly say anything different this week than I said 2 weeks ago when the show hasn't changed?
Yeah, exactly. And to wit, like, television criticism, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I used to read a lot of TV criticism. I used to enjoy, like, you know, I'll watch a show and then I'll enjoy going to, like, the AV Club or someplace that does episode-by-episode reviews. And as time has gone on, television criticism has slowly become nothing but recaps. So
right.
They're basically, because there isn't that much to say about a sitcom week to week, they just resort to summarizing the episode and then having a few stray thoughts about, well, that was pretty good, here's this, here's that, that's it. But the appetite for that kind of content is so huge, and we make our living providing content like that to readers. You have to keep going with it, otherwise you're not serving your audience. But
right.
There's just not that much to say week to week on a lot of this stuff. You got to wait until there's 3 or 4 episodes, which originally was the idea with the stream, where it would only be once a month. And when you would turn it in, it would be 12,000 words long.
Right. I think the longest I ever turned in was something like 16,000 words, something insane. It was, you know, it was like 10 pages single spaced.
It's a novella, yeah.
Well, and there are websites out there who do look at weekly episodes of new anime, and they do kind of like a recap style. You know, I try not to do that, but that's personal preference.
Well, you're trying to review with the show.
Right, and not just say like, oh, so-and-so walked into a bar and then made so-and-so magical girl. Like, that's, to me, I don't think that's really interesting. Like, I could just watch it in 30 minutes and find out for myself.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I think this is a big part of the problem. And you're not the first person to burn out really badly doing that style of anime review, where I'm going to look at the entire season and I'm going to review as much as I possibly can. I have become increasingly warm to the idea that doing it that way, for one person to do it that way, is not only untenable, it's a kind of a bad way to do it, because it treats anime like a genre, not a medium.
Right.
You wouldn't ask one person to review everything on network television. So why do we ask one person to review all of a season of anime when there's 30 or 40 shows to cover of every genre imaginable?
Right.
It's a wildly disparate. I mean, a lot of the stuff is samey, but, you know, same with network television. But there's still genres. There's still action, romance, comedy, harem stuff, moe stuff. Like, anime has its own genres, but it's still wildly different, and you can't have one TV critic covering absolutely everything. So it's kind of ridiculous on its face to say, like, okay, well, you're going to write this one column that covers every single show in the season, and, like, the readers love it. It does really, really well traffic-wise. But the other problem is, when you start doing that, your reward is the forums telling you, why didn't you cover this? Why didn't you cover X? Why didn't you cover Y?
Right.
You just wrote 16,000 words, but it's not enough for me. Why didn't you cover this show? The only feedback I have for you is complaining about what you didn't write. Like, that will burn you out really fast as well. And you'll get a bunch of questions about the entire format. And basically, they want you to cover every piece, every frame of animated product that Japan produces, period. Which is not possible for one person to do. And even if it is possible, the writing quality is not going to be there. eventually it turns into white noise.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no offense intended, but there were stream comms where I was like, you are so burned out. Because it turns into white noise. It's like, you clearly had nothing to say, and that was the fault of the format, not...
Right.
Not you specifically. That was the fault of, okay, this format is really... has a lot of problems. Like, it really has a lot of problems. And so, you know, the stream will return in the winter season, but it will be different, and it will not just be one person writing it. I plan on having multiple people on that, but that's what burnout, that's what causes burnout, and I think treating anime like that, where it's like, yeah, one person doing 25 shows, 30 shows is foolish. Like,
it's soul-sucking a little bit, too.
It's what?
Because here's the thing, it's a little soul-sucking. Like,
yeah.
You don't, like, at the beginning of every TV season, like on U.S. network TV, you maybe start out with, like, you know, 4 or 5 shows. You know, I have friends who, for some ungodly reason, follow, like, 15 shows a season. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But you watch it, and then after, like, episode 3, like, once, you know, 3, 4, 5, once you realize that you have, like, 5 episodes sitting on your DVR, you realize, I'm never going to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same with anime. Like, when you have, like, 25 new shows a season, and we're talking shows that aren't just like, you know, season 2, season 3, or sequels, just new shows, and, you know, I feel like most people, you know, there are people who just watch everything because they enjoy it by themselves, you know, but for most people, you watch everything, and then you realize, okay, these are the 2 shows that I'm actually going to watch every single week, because I actually look forward to watching these shows every single week. But when you're a reviewer who can't not watch those shows, like, you have to watch it, and no later than, you know, 4 weeks afterwards, you know, like, you have to watch it, then you're no longer taking in the considerations of A, quality of the show, and then B, whether or not that show is even really meant to be watched week to week. Right. You know, there are some shows that I think are easier to watch in a box set. Right. Which I realize, yeah, they air on TVs, but, like, there are some shows that when you're watching 26 shows, some shows are hard to follow week after week after week, because then you look back and you think, like, wait a minute, what just happened in the previous show? I don't think anything happened, you know? And then and trying to keep track of this web it partially, you know, it just really takes the fun out of watching it. You know, there are shows that even if you think, okay, well, this show wasn't bad, like, you know, it's not bad enough to stop watching, but that's also under the assumption is, well, if I'm not watching anything else, I would still be watching this show, you know, not when you have like 26 shows to choose from, and maybe 2 are the ones you actually want to keep watching every week. The other maybe 10 are just shows that are okay, they're all right, they're interesting. But you don't, like, wake up Tuesday mornings and be like, oh, shit, new episode of whatever today. You know?
Right.
And it's I've noticed even this season, knowing that I don't have to watch and write about all the shows has, A, slightly increased my enjoyment of watching certain shows. But, B, also, I've just naturally gone down to only watching, like, 4 shows.
Yeah, you because know, that's
because those
the
are the 4 shows
person.
That I deeply care about enough to actually wake up and say, yes, Monday, new episode.
Right. And that's common. Like, that's a totally common, totally realistic, incredibly understandable attitude. And that's the way most people consume television. But the level of consumption you were being asked to do before, and the level of consumption you see a lot of people writing about this stuff, where they're asked to watch 30 shows... not only is it going to just start turning into a big, you know, bowl of porridge in your head, it doesn't lend itself to quality writing. It
right.
just doesn't. It's unrealistic to expect a human being to be able to turn out really high quality writing for 30 shows
right.
over the course of a week. Like, that's nuts. And it leads to burnout, and it also treats anime like... it's a genre, not a medium.
Right.
Which, it's not that. It's a medium. And treating it like it's this one monolithic thing is foolish and discounts it. I think it's a little insulting to it as a medium. to treat it like it's a genre. Because you're suggesting that it's kind of all the same and can kind of all be treated in the same way, and you can have one person who... You know, this is why I have, like, five staff critics, and I don't have one guy covering every single DVD box set, you know? I mean, you don't even... The Shelf Life doesn't even cover every single DVD box set. You pick three, right, and you cover those that week, and then that's it. So, I mean, it's just... And that can totally lead to really, really, really nasty, nasty burnout. And I know people who have gone through this before, and sometimes you don't get out of it. Right. I know people that they go through burnout, and they just stop being fans. They never come back to it. And it takes, like, one really special thing to get them to just watch something that's anime again. And when they do eventually get around to it, they watch that one thing, and they're like, that was pretty good, but I'm not going to go back to watching, you know, four or five shows a week or something like that.
Right.
So it can be dangerous. It can, well, not dangerous, but it can mean that maybe you're, you know, I hate to use the word outgrowing it, but maybe you're done with it. Sometimes, you know, it means you're done with it. You know, that's certainly been the case with plenty of people that I know. It's never happened to me, thankfully. Obviously, I mean, that's, you know, it's how I make my living, so that's good. But I've had periods of burnout that lasted up to like 6 months. Like, I've had, like, really, really long periods of burnout, and I have the luxury of sitting back and saying, okay, I'm going to let all my other writers do this stuff. I just won't review anything for a long time. I won't write about something specifically. Like, I can watch something, you know, I can throw one thing in and have something to talk about on this show if I'm going through burnout, but I don't have to watch everything. Whereas with you, you were stuck in this cycle where you had to do it. And I just, yeah, like, obviously it burned you out really fast, really badly.
Well, and here's the thing is that, like, I don't know, maybe it was like a few years ago when I stopped writing Shelf Life was because I was just too busy. You know, I was in the middle of grad school. I couldn't do it anymore. And then B, like, I just couldn't keep watching some of those shows anymore. And so I stopped, you know, and then when I came back, it was fine. Like, I was fresh. I was back on the horse. But what tipped me over was then suddenly was doing the stream, because at first it started off fine. You know, it was first there was like 12 shows, and then there were 20, and then there were 25, and then there's like 30, you know, and it got to a point where, like, I don't think I ever anticipated that there would be so many simulcasts every season.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, yeah, we get almost everything
now. And but it's, you know, it's one thing if you're like a film critic and you're just watching one movie, you know, like you watch one movie, two hours, it's over. But to follow the breadth of all of these shows that come out every season, it's like watching, you know, I don't know, Breaking Bad as the same time as watching like Two Broke Girls and expecting to like write about both the same way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's you can't.
Yeah, well, that's why you look at something like the AV Club, and they've got, you know, 15 different writers handling all this stuff.
Right.
It's not just one guy expected to cover everything. that totally makes sense. And what I did want to get into here is getting out of it, because you can get out of it. It's not the end of the world if you do find yourself totally burned out on this stuff. The symptoms, I would say, you know, are pretty easily recognizable. You know, if you just stop caring, or you look at your shelf of anime and you just sigh,
right?
Like, but it's more about apathy than it is about anything else. Apathy creeps in and you stop caring, and that's sort of the big, you don't get excited about anything anymore, but that's like the biggest telltale sign. But getting out of burnout it can be kind of tough. How have you done it in the past?
Well, so I think that there's two surefire ways to get out of burnout. One is kind of luck, is when you stumble into something that you really like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't, and then you're stuck. You know, like sometimes you watch a show or a movie that's so good that you realize, yeah, no, I still love anime. Like, yeah, I'm not done forever. Or you watch something or you watch something that's so bad that it like fires up your brain again. You know, the shows that are really bad or the shows that are really good, those are the ones that are fun to write about or to talk about. It's the ones in the middle and that are hard to keep watching. But that's the stuff in the middle is like 80%. And But another way is like, and you know, this sounds like a cliche, but once you realize you burned out and you admit that you're burned out, it's a lot easier to accept it. And I think that a lot of fans, I think that they are afraid to admit out loud that either they are burned out or they have been burnt out.
I think that's a symptom of maybe internalizing a little too much, because that's sort of like admitting, like, well, you know, a big part of my personal identity is centered around being an anime fan. I don't want to admit that I'm sick of anime or right. I'm tired of it. And it's okay. We're here to tell you. It's okay.
It's okay to admit that you're watching shows that just aren't firing you up anymore, you know? I think some people worry that once they admit, like, man, I'm a little burned out, that they're somehow, like, being forced to revoke their geek card, which is not true.
Well, and it's important to look at it like any other hobby. You know, right. The guy playing 30 hours of World of Warcraft a week eventually gets sick of World of Warcraft and takes a break. Waits till the next expansion pack comes out or something to get back into it. The guy who does 30 hours of woodworking a week gets tired of woodworking and decides to not do it for a little while because he just needs a break.
Fuck these chairs. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, well, maybe you just get tired of it. Like, yeah. You get tired of anything. Like, you consume too much in one sitting. You know, and especially if you're just doing it for funsies. Like, it's not like you're getting paid. It's not like you have to do it. It's totally understandable to just get tired of something and say, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a little break from this for a while. And I strongly recommend to people, the minute you sort of feel like you're not enjoying something or you're watching it just to be quote-unquote part of the conversation, which a lot of these people, I feel like some people feel like they understand, like, your plight because they'll watch, you know, 20 shows a season, and then they'll go on message forums and respond to people talking about it there, or make fun of the show there, or, you know, snark about it on some forum somewhere. That's not the same as formal writing at all. It's just not the same. It's something you're doing because you want to, because it's fun. But the minute you feel like you're not enjoying watching a show anymore, I would say go ahead and take a break. Like, take some time off. Come back to it a little later, and you can avoid burnout that way faster, because you can feel the creep. It's a slow process, like you said. Burnout takes time to develop. But once you start feeling those symptoms of, like, you know what, I am just not enjoying this, and I'm watching this as though it's a chore. Like, I see so much on Twitter, people are like, I guess it's time for the next episode of this. And it's like, well, if it's that much of a fucking chore, why are you watching it? Like, right. You don't have to. No one's paying you to do it. Like, that baffles me, is that so many people treat this stuff like, an obligation. It's like, when it stops being fun, why are you still doing it? Like, that's a surefire way to get burned out really fast, really badly.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a big problem, is people watching stuff out of a weird sense of obligation because they still want to talk about it on the internet. But if you're not enjoying a show, you know, and don't get me wrong, like, I love a good hate watch. Like, if I really hate something,
I love hate watching.
I'm going to keep watching it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I hate watching all kinds of things, but that's different.
That's an example of something that's really bad, though. Things that are really bad are great to watch. Things that are really good are great to watch. It's the things in the middle that are a chore.
Yeah, and not only that, like, as a writer, that's the stuff that's impossible to write about.
Right.
Like you said. So, yeah, but in terms of getting out of burnout, I personally like to revisit stuff that got me into it in the first place. Not extensively, like, I won't just sit down and watch all of Utena or something like that, but, you know, maybe I'll watch the movie or a few episodes here and there, pop in a little Escaflowne or some Wolf's Rain or something, and just be like, oh, yeah. Man, I really love this stuff. Like, it can be transformative when it's really, really good. And that sort of reminds me, and then I'll get back into it. But you are right in that the best cure for burnout is a really great new show that you really, really love.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it seemed like this season that was Kill la Kill. Like, a lot of people were watching that, and they're like, oh, shit, anime's cool. Remember when anime was cool? Anime's cool. Like, seemed to do it for a lot of folks. So,
well, yeah. Here's something fascinating to me about shows like Kill la Kill, or, like, you know, it's, for me at least, it reminds me of when I started watching anime. When you watch something and you're just like, this is so different, this is so new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think, so, and correct me if you think I'm going the wrong direction here, but, you know, especially as of the past several years, I guess, Japan has been embarking on this gigantic, cool Japan juggernaut this thing. But I don't think they know what Cool Japan is.
No, Cool Japan is largely a source of derision. Like, I feel like most people use it as a joke now.
Right.
At least the people that I see talking about Cool Japan, it's kind of a joke. The stuff that they're focusing on is sort of otaku culture, which is inherently niche, and I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a topic for another day, but yeah, totally. I guess I get what you're saying.
It's just that, like stuff like Kill la Kill is, like, that fires up the same part of my brain as the first time I ever watched, I don't know, you know, Akira, for instance. Like, it fires up that part of me where I'm like, this is crazy, this is bonkers, like, this is so unique and inventive. Like, this is the reason I like watching anime, because you can express ideas that you could not express using any other medium.
Right.
Like, it's the expression of these ideas that is what makes anime so cool. I don't need to watch cute girls playing, I don't know, musical instruments for 36 hours. You know, like, that to me is a completely different usage of the medium as something as, like, Kill la Kill or, like, Red Lion.
Well, that's a perfectly valid use of it. It's just, it's not what turns your crank.
Right.
So, you know, for the people for whom that is what turns their crank, great, good for them. And, you know, maybe I'm sure those people go through burnout too, and then it takes another really good one of those in order to get them back into it. So, right. Like, I want to be careful to avoid saying, like, oh, those of us who are into the stuff like Kill la Kill, you and I are into the same kind of things, you know, Red Lion or Kill la Kill. That's something like that is what takes us, will take us out of burnout. But right. For the people who are really into the moe stuff, I'm sure they get burned out, especially because they have so much more material.
Right, yeah.
Like, if you're a big moe fan and you're like, I like cute girls, so I'm going to watch this show. Oh, there's another one? Okay, here's another one. Oh, there's four more cute girl shows? Like, you know, there's so many cute girl shows. I would imagine they're like, oh, man, I don't know if how much more of this I could take. So then it takes another really good one, or one that just happens to really appeal to their sensibility, to get them back into it. So that's, you know, I think it's kind of universal, no matter what you're into. You run into trouble when you try and consume everything.
Right.
You're like, I'm an anime fan. That means I watch anime and nothing else. Anime. So the only thing you would do is watch shit tons of anime. And I cannot imagine a faster way to burn yourself out on anything than watching 30 shows a season. It's nuts.
The only good part is that when you do watch that much, I say this as though, like this is the only reason to do it, but, like, sometimes you are pleasantly surprised and you are at the, like, forefront of, like, oh man, this thing is cool. So, like, for instance, you know, with those moe shows, every single season there's, like, two or three shows about just girls, cute girls doing cute things that are being goofy and wacky or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the most recent Shuffle, I reviewed the show called Daily Lives of High School Boys, and it's amazing.
Right.
Because it's that show except with boys, but it's so, it's not the same show except just with boys. It approaches the subject matter in a different way. You know, it makes fun of the genre. It does all these cool things with it. You know, also, like, this season on that's streaming right now, there's a show called Nonon Byori, which is also sort of that type of show, only it's about these kids who live in the sticks, and they have their little wacky weird adventures too, but, like, they worry about things like, hey, there's a cow in the road, how do I get around it? You know, like, this just, it's little things like this are able to take an entire genre and make them fun and interesting again.
Right.
So when you do watch, like, 20 of these shows, like, sometimes when you do see something that is new and fresh, like, that also, like, sparks something. Like, oh my gosh, I've seen this same scenario 20 times before, but this one's different. This one's better.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, that's another good way to sort of get out of burnout. And I would say one important thing is to take as much time as you feel like you need. Don't force it, because forcing it is just going to make the burnout worse. Like, it's kind of like, you know, don't pick at the scab. Just let it heal.
Right.
You know? Because I know people who are like, oh, I'm burned out, but, you know, I did want to watch this show, and I wasn't really enjoying it, but I forced myself to finish it, and now I really don't want to watch any anime at all ever again. And I'm like, well, it wasn't the right way to go about doing that now.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, it, there's ways out of it, and it's important to recognize the symptoms and all that stuff. So, anyway, we got a bunch of Twitter questions here. Some of these are related to the topic, some of them are not. So, obviously. All right. Anything Plus More asks, how successful do you think a new series of Fist of the North Star would be? No less successful than, like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure was, I guess.
I think it would do better in Japan than it would here.
Of course.
I mean...
Doesn't that go without saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Itoju asks, do you tend to burn out more due to sheer overload or from too many underwhelming shows without finding a great one for too long? I would say it's both of those at once.
Both. I mean, I think they're, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's, well, overload, it's like I'm watching too much, and too much of it gives me nothing to say.
Right.
Andre Poplu asks, what's the anime you had the most trouble slogging through but actually watched all of? See, I can quit. You have to keep going a lot of time. So is there, like, something that really sticks out in your head is, like, this show drove me
fucking crazy? I don't know if anything sticks out, because usually once a season is over, it's in my brain, it's gone.
Mm.
So I'd have to, like, dig down deep into my repressed memories to dig it out again.
I mean, I feel like there were plenty of things where you would come to me and be like, this show is killing me.
I don't even remember, though. Jesus.
Well, that was the curse of the stream.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're watching that much shit, of course it's not gonna linger. You're not even really gonna remember the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's weird, because now when I watch stuff for Shelf Life, I will watch, like, four episodes, and then the entire time I'm thinking, like, this looks so familiar. Where have I seen this before? And then realize that I've already reviewed the show and be like, what the fuck? Because sometimes they don't stand out at all. Because some of the ones are just, you know, here's this generic slop about whatever. And they're not bad enough that you dislike them, but they're not good either. So it's just kind of that weird middle ground.
Gavimatic asks, what are some series that really revitalized your interest in anime after an exhaustion period?
Bicycle Show. It's the greatest show right now. It's so good.
Well, you're coming off of having just concluded the stream, so...
That's true.
Yeah. For me, it's kind of hard to think. I feel like I haven't really been burned out in quite a bit. I think I went through a really nasty burnout maybe a couple years ago, and I'm pretty sure it was Redline that pulled me out of that. But that was a while. It's been a little while. So, you know, it's hard to think. Like I'll you know, I'll remember the show itself, but I won't remember that, oh, this pulled me out of a really nasty case of burnout. You tend to forget it once it's gone. Also from Andre Paplu, any anime you tend to automatically say no to or ignore?
No.
Yeah, little kids shows that are 5 minutes long. Little kids shows in general, like stuff that's obviously for very small children, I'll just ignore it. Because it's not my audience, it's not who I'm writing for, it's not who I'm producing content for. It's kind of no point in looking at it. I ignore Precure. I don't pay any attention to that. We have a writer on staff who does like Precure, so she'll probably start doing some writing about it, but I could not care less. Anything that's excessively little girl fan service, I'm done with it. And cute girls doing cute things, I ignore those as well. It's got to have something more of a hook. But thankfully, like the cute girl, like just pure cute girls doing cute things, that does seem to be going away. Like they need to have more of a hook now. So, like, even if it's cute girls with airsoft guns, that's something different. Like, it's not just, look at these girls in school, and they make jokes about being in school. The end.
I love that show. Mm. Cute girls playing airsoft?
Oh, right, okay.
It's a great show.
I did not. But anyway. let's see. Alex Pierce asks, do you think when it comes to services like Netflix and Hulu, putting anime into its own section limits the amount of people who could be introduced to the medium, and that anime should just be put in the same genres as live-action content? That's a good question. I don't think it should be put with everything else, just because that's not how Netflix doles things out. They put animation in its own ghetto like everyone else does. I think it might be nice if they put action shows in with action television shows, and mystery anime in with mystery shows and stuff, but I wouldn't expect that to ever happen.
It doesn't seem like it would be that hard, though, for those services to just add a checkbox in your settings, right? To be like, hey, don't sort this with the anime, just sort this with the genre.
Yeah. That's probably almost impossible for them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a crazy algorithm, but it's... that's a tough question to answer, because you have to figure, like, you'd probably get a lot of customers complaining, because then you'd turn on the action thing, and there would be High School of the Dead with the giant tits on the cover, and, you know, a lot of those covers are really salacious, so, like, it's gonna, people are gonna think it's porn, suddenly being mixed in with their action TV shows. So, yeah. It's a tough question. I'm not sure what to do about that. Buddy Cop Doug asks, why is so much emphasis placed on keeping up with what is current? Well, that's what the internet wants. And our job is to give them what they want. So you have to keep current.
I agree.
Yeah, it's not a lot to
say. I don't really, yep.
Zump1 asks, is there any way animation can gain some kind of respectability so that it's not just viewed as kid stuff or a genre?
Well, we've been fighting that battle for, like, 20 years now.
Yeah, longer than that. Animators and people who are into animation have been fighting the stigma that it's just for kids and it's not worth an adult's time for decades and decades and decades. I remember the last time it was, like, hugely sort of validated was when Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture. But that was before they developed a Best Animated Feature category. So now that would just be put into Best Animated Feature. I don't necessarily think there's any problem with putting animation in its own category. The problem is that the problem people have with that is that it's saying, well, this is animated, so therefore it can't possibly be compared to or held up against a live-action film, which is inherently wrong. But at the same time, I kind of see both sides on this one. Like, I don't have a problem with animation being in its own category. I do have a problem with it all being treated as though it's just for children and adults shouldn't take it seriously and can't get anything out of it. That's fundamentally wrong. And, you know, anyone listening to this show will obviously agree with that. So, I don't know. I don't think that it being compared directly to live action is necessarily the goal, or quote-unquote giving it respectability or anything like that. I don't think that's the goal. It would just be nice if people wouldn't dismiss it out of hand just because it's animated. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know that there's, like, a magical thing that will make people not have the preconceptions that they do. You know, and I certainly don't think the anime industry is trying too hard to shake some of those stigmas. But the thing is that, like, people who respect the medium or who respect the art form, like, everyone's already on the same page, you know? So really, who cares what some random douchebag thinks, you know, that it's kid stuff? Like, you're not going to change that person's mind anyway. Why bother?
OP Gourmet Hunter asks, do you guys think treating anime like a genre lumps all the fan service-y stuff with everything else and ultimately stigmatizes it? Kind of. I think when you have an anime shelf and you have the breast defense is a good cock fence or something like that sitting next to Whisper of the
Heart. I have that DVD right in front of me right now.
Yeah, me too. That's why it came to mind. When you have Boobies for the Win sitting next to My Neighbor Totoro, it's a little fucking confusing to somebody who doesn't know, and they're just going to assume it's all the same thing. Anime is both extremely high-minded, beautiful, animated masterpieces, and lowest common denominator titty shows, you know, some really perverted stuff. And those are both totally fine, and they can exist, but they probably shouldn't cohabitate on the shelf. And if you want someone to get interested in anime as medium, you're not going to do it by saying, here's a show that's nothing but giant tits in your face, and here's a beautiful moving film about a woman coming of age in 1980s Japan. Those don't even belong in the same fucking sentence. Like, they do not belong together, and putting them together and saying this is all the same is damaging to both.
Well, that's what I was saying about how I feel like the anime industry really isn't trying that hard to, like, remove those stigmas. As much as you would love more people to see, you know, the new Shinkai film or the new, you know, Miyazaki or whatever, there's a lot of shows that keep pandering to the same old fan base.
Well, that's fine. Don't put it all together. It's like putting Game of Thrones next to Lawrence of Arabia just because they both happen to be live action.
Right.
Like, Game of Thrones is perfectly fine. It's totally fun. Yeah, it's trashy fun, but people like it, and it's cool and popular and neat. But don't say, oh, do you like movies? Here's Showgirls, and also Schindler's List. Like,
right.
They don't belong together. You got to separate them out. You got to say, well, what are you looking for? What do you like? Like, don't just say, like, not that people buy anime in stores anymore, but looking at an anime store shelf is depressing because it's all lumped in together. And so somebody who's not really all that familiar with it is going to go in there and look at that and be like, oh, is this the same as this? And say, no, totally different things. Literally just do not belong in the same shelf. So yeah, I guess maybe it would be better if it were separated by genre and not just lumped into anime. Here's anime. It's not, action, horror, thriller, anime. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I feel like some of those anime shows in would just have nowhere to go. Like, what? There are some shows for which there's no pre-existing, genre on the shelf with like titles,
I'm just going to go to Fry's and Best Buy and suggest very strongly, okay, you guys need a titties section.
Yeah. you need a section for girls who are also wizards, who also have big breasts, who also turn into dragons and cat girls.
You can put this next to the camel toe section. Okay. Paul Freeland asks, changing which variables helps best avoid burnout? What when do you watch? With whom? Do the why or how matter? I think you're overthinking it. Those symptoms will creep in. You will know when you're starting to get burned out. And honestly, I do think the best thing is to stop watching anime for a little while. Like, even if you're like, only watch what you really want to watch. And if you're watching anything and it starts feeling like a chore, stop. Because even if you're just like, oh, I'm kind of hate watching this, the minute it starts feeling like a chore and you're not having fun with it anymore, you have to step away. Otherwise, the burnout's going to make it so that you don't want to watch anything anymore. And you start looking for new hobbies.
I think it's okay to just slow down. Yeah, I don't think you should quit cold turkey. I don't think that. But if you're the type of person who watches 20 shows a season and you drop down to one show a season, that will dramatically help because then you're now only watching what you want to watch.
I wasn't suggesting stop watching all anime, even the stuff you really want to watch. I was saying don't, if something feels like it's starting to become a chore, just stop because it's going to lead to overall burnout.
Right.
And you aren't even going to want to watch the stuff that you previously did feel like watching before because that's what burnout does to you. It's a feeling of, I don't want to watch anything. I don't care how good it is. I don't want to sit here and watch this. I mean, that's what it's like for me. I don't know if that's how it is for you. I get to a point where I'm just like, ugh, anime.
Yeah. Well, the internet does not help.
This is true. Well, there's other factors at play, of course. I mean, people really beat you down, but let's see. John DCP asks, how do you prioritize seeing quality versus mediocre so bad it's good anime? Well, those are two different things. Does a good fan need to watch a lot of both? Okay. So I think this is a bigger symptom. The idea that the internet perpetuates this concept of what a real fan or a good fan is, demonizes what they now refer to as casuals. Fuck all that noise. Fuck all of it. Stop worrying about whether or not you're the right kind of fan or you're the good kind of fan or you're pure or hardcore. Stop. Just enjoy what you want to enjoy. Watch what you want to watch. Watch what makes you happy. Watch what makes you excited. Watch what makes you sad if you like things that make you sad. Do not fucking worry about what, 4chan guys think about your purity as an anime fan or how much you watch and how little you watch and how obsessed you are with it dictates whether or not you're good enough. Stop. That is such fucking bullshit. And to me, that would kill my interest in any kind of a hobby so fast if I actually subscribe to the notion that there's such thing as a good fan and a bad fan. That is total bullshit.
That's what I was saying before, though, about how I feel like people who are burned out are afraid to say that they're burned out.
Yeah,
because then they are worried that people will think they're not anime fans anymore. You're still an anime fan.
Yeah, you're not a real fan. If anyone ever tells you that, immediately dismiss everything they say after it. Like, ignore that completely. It's such fucking bullshit. No one gets to tell you what kind of a fan you are, whether or not you're a good fan or a bad fan. There's no such fucking thing. All you are doing is enjoying a TV show. Like, I kind of hate what the internet has turned the word fan into.
Yeah.
It's A, it's meaningless, but B, they've assigned so much meaning to it that I'm a fan, and therefore I'm entitled to this and that, and I get to tell the creator what to do, and if he doesn't make me, the fan, happy, then... It's like, what does being a fan of something mean? It means you like watching a TV show. That's how simple and stupid it is. You just like something. You sit in front of the TV, your brain says, I like this. That's it! That's it! That's fucking it! That's all we're talking about here. So the fans this, the fans that, good fan, bad fan, casuals, brr. Like, shut the fuck up. Just, you like TV. You like cartoons. Yeah. That's it. We all have it in common, so it's fun to get together and talk about it. But separating into the stupid camps and all the dumb tribalism, man, fuck that. Like, internet fandom, I swear, like, it can be, sometimes it can be the greatest thing, and sometimes it can be the soul-crushingest worst thing. Like, yeah. I don't gotta tell you that, though.
I think anime fandom sometimes leads to burnout, too. It sometimes is not the anime, sometimes it's the fans.
Oh, fandom contributes to burnout so much. And not just because we have to deal with them because we write about this stuff. I would imagine, like, fans who don't write about it, but just interact with fans. I've seen so many stories of people saying, like, I was really into anime, but man, forums just depressed me so fucking much. Like, I couldn't take it anymore. Like, people were just so mean and weird and demanding, and, you know, they, if you didn't parrot their opinion back to them, they'd get really pissed and tell you you're a shitty fan and run you down, and, like, yeah, dealing with fandom itself can lead to total burnout. I would imagine it turns a lot of people off to it completely.
Fans can be really, really mean. Yeah. I don't know why they're such assholes, but some fans are such total assholes, yeah. And it kills you because, like, you know, you watch something, maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but you want to go online and you talk about it, but you didn't talk about it the right way, so that now you get shit on forever because you didn't talk about some stupid show the right way. Maybe you liked it for a different reason, maybe you didn't like it at all, but then suddenly, you know, and it's for people who write about anime, like, we're used to it. You know, you can never write anything that someone won't shit on, so yeah. It's you kind of just learn to get a thick skin about it. But for people who are just looking for someone to talk to, like, hey, man, did someone watch this episode of this? I didn't really like it, but I want to talk about it. No, you'll get shit on, and then you don't want to talk about it ever again.
But this is age old. It's how shitty fans can be to each other just casually. Like, you know, you walk in the old days, you walk into, like, a college anime club, and you'd be like, you're trying to make friends, and you meet someone, and you're like, oh, I really like this show, and they go, you like that? That's stupid.
Right.
Well, now I feel like shit. Thanks. And it's not just that they had a negative opinion of it, it's that their first interaction with you, or one of their first interactions with you was telling you you're dumb for liking something, or suggesting that, oh, well, superior taste is the Naruto, you know, or whatever. You know, like, the Casey Green comic series, The Anime Club, covers a lot of that. And yeah. It's very common. And, yeah, fans, it would be great if fans would be less shitty to each other, but this is never going to happen, so.
No, of course not. Yeah,
but I would, I mean, like, I've advocated this before. I think stepping away from identity as a fan completely, enjoying what you enjoy, interact with people if you want to, but if, it, you know, if they're antagonistic, just ignore it and walk away from it. Watch the show, enjoy it, talk about it with your significant other or your siblings or whoever. And ignore the internet fandom, because that might lead to burnout faster than just about anything else and make you just sick of it. Sick of talking about it. It makes you feel bad about having an opinion. Step away from the identity as a fan and, oh, I really like this show, and so that defines me as a person. First of all, that should never define you as a person. Right. Second of all, like, that will make it so that eventually you don't want to interact with anybody anymore, or even keep watching the show, or stay in the hobby, because it's so soul-crushing. Anyway, Angel XO3 asks, What will it take to entice or and expose people towards other anime subgenres besides using action shows or Ghibli films? I'm not sure if this question is how do we get people into anime using moe or whatever, but I don't think it's responsible or even realistic to suggest that the super hardcore otaku stuff is going to get people excited about anime as a thing because it's such a specific thing.
Right.
I mean, would you use, like, Air or Clannad to get someone into anime? Like, is that where you... Because that seems like deep-end stuff. Like, eventually maybe they'll discover that on their own after having seen some gateway drug stuff, and maybe that's where they'll go as a fan. Maybe that's where they'll gravitate towards. But...
Okay, but...
You don't start with that, because it's... The fake girlfriend stuff is... It's really its own thing.
Okay, but this begs another question, which is why? Why even? What if that person doesn't like it? Just because they liked a handful of Miyazaki films doesn't mean that they need to be indoctrinated into the moe club. Don't force it on people.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
force people to watch Nashville, like
Well, this seems to be coming from the place of, like, once you start watching anime, you have to eventually become an otaku.
I don't think that's true at all. And I think once people just realize that, hey, some people like certain things, some people don't. It's the sooner we all realize that, the better. Because I feel like for as long as I can remember now, people have been trying to say, like, hey, how do I get people into anime? I don't know. Show them the things that you like, and if they don't like it, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Don't, you know, maybe they really like Ninja Scroll. Maybe they really like, whatever, Princess and the Pilot. That's cool. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, it doesn't have to be your life mission to get them to like K-On.
Yeah, and also, if they don't like K-On, but they like other things, that doesn't make them less of a fan than you.
Right.
It's all pretty silly. But then this all comes back to just internet fandom. Internet fandom can be really fucking toxic. Even when it comes to just, you know, bringing new people in. You know, I see more and more now people referring to filthy casuals on the forums. Filthy casuals.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Filthy casuals ruining our hobby. Filthy casuals. This show is for stupid casuals who don't know what real anime is, and they're not real anime fans. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you a million times. If that's ever come out of your mouth, stop and look at yourself in the mirror and, like, wonder what the fuck is wrong with your life.
Right, because, news alert, you're the one who's ruining fandom and being a giant shit.
Yeah.
God damn, it's, like, that is the nerd equivalent of the people outside of Dodger Stadium who beat up Giants fans. Like, it is.
Yeah, it's
like,
the nerd
equivalent.
Like,
you're the asshole fan that makes you not want to go to another person's stadium. Like, nerds love to talk about, like, oh, we're not like, those apish sports
Josh,
fans.
Yeah.
Oh, you are, actually.
Well, yeah. that attitude is exactly that. It's that nasty, self-righteous, exclusionary thing where you're not hardcore enough, so fuck off, you know. You don't get to have fun with the rest of us because you're not hardcore enough. That is such a shitty, childish attitude, and it's going to turn so many people away from it. And you're like, well, why don't more people like this stuff? Because you're an asshole. That's
you're a piece of shit. Yeah.
Because you act like a giant asshole towards anyone that's not as superior as you are. Like,
oh, good God.
Yeah.
I've never
talking about burnout.
If
I would probably
beat someone up. I'm not afraid of getting in a fist fight.
Those people, like, probably contribute more to individual burnout than I would say even, like, shitty
God.
Anime does.
I challenge one of them to a fight.
Well, anyway, so I feel like we've covered this. thanks to everyone who wrote in, and Bamboo, it was good going over that. I'm glad we got to talk about it.
Yeah, always happy to be here.
Okay, that's our show. Thanks to Bamboo for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating, a little review. We would really appreciate that. And hey, we will see you all next week.